Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Tuesday, May 31st, 2011, episode 152, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
And it is a beautiful day here in Phoenix. Glenn, how is it in Lexington, Kentucky? Because I know you guys have had some crazy weather.
Actually, it's beautiful here as well. It's we had 90-some degrees the last 2 days. It's been wonderful.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's good to know because I know you guys have had such a cold winter and then a very wet spring. So the grass must be turning blue again in Lexington. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Actually, it's very green. I don't know where they get the whole bluegrass thing. I've never seen a blade of bluegrass here yet. I don't know where that comes from.
Well, I'd like to update everybody because, first of all, it's an emotion. The bluegrass is a feeling that you get, Glenn. It's not just the grass color. It's the fact that you see these beautiful rolling hills, and it's just such royal land that the green is so rich it almost looks blue, and that is the feeling that you get when you read the book Black Beauty. It's not so much, you know,
a story.
How did
I know I would come around to this? Well, you're starting early today. By the way, I've lived here for 3 years, and I've been looking for a blade of bluegrass since I've lived here, and I'm sorry, I've never seen one. It's very green here. It's very lush, very green, very pretty. It's not blue.
You're such a guy. You're just a guy because you have to understand that it's a feeling that you get. And when I talk about Black Beauty, it's the same thing. It's not so much just a kid story. It's a feeling that you get and you carry that with you. And I would like to let everybody know that Glenn fell down on the job and did not get the intro music. My intro to the reading of Black Beauty by Anna Sewell will not take place today because Glenn slacked all weekend long. He's been working on something else, some like Horse World Gives Back thing, and was unable to put together my music. So we're going to give you a day, Glenn. You have a day.
But there's a good reason for that because we're putting something very, very special together for your intro music for your boring reading of Black Beauty. That's why I'm taking this one. It's very, very special.
Oh, right. We'll see. We'll see about that. Well, let's see. Jennifer, what are we doing on today's show? And then we've got to get to these Daily Winnies because they're two kind of important ones.
Okie dokie. On today's show, on Tuesday, we're having a Monday since everybody had a lovely weekend off, mostly. Some people had work, took the day off, nothing happened. We're going to have Monday today. And we're going to start out with a visit from Eric Barton of Lex Lynn Gypsy Vanners in Tennessee. And we're going to be stretching out that whole Memorial Day theme for just one more day. They've got kind of a special thing going for veterans as well, so stay tuned to see what they're up to. And after that, because it's Monday, Glenn and Jamie will be rounding up the news, notes, and nefarious headlines from around the world.
my first daily Winnie, or my only daily Winnie today, goes out to Fran Yerga. Happy birthday, Fran. It's her birthday today. And, of course, Fran is the famous blogger and has joined us here on the show a couple of times. So happy birthday to Fran.
Well, something special must have happened 9 months ago, and I don't want to go any further than that or think about it anymore, because it is a very special birthday for somebody very close to me as well. And, you know, in I think 10 years of my radio career, having worked on this day, never once have I been allowed to wish happy birthday on the air to my dad. So I would like to take that now and wish you happy birthday about 10 times, because I should have done it that many times before, but did not have a show this awesome. So happy birthday to my dad. I'm not going to say how old he is. over 65. But I'm not going to say the actual year. Yeah, and you know what's really cool is you'll get a dose of him, because he's coming to visit, I think, next week sometime, or in a couple weeks. So he will be here, and we'll just have to put him live on Horses in the Morning. But, yes, happy birthday. You know, to have my wedding anniversary this past weekend, it was a great idea to get married on Memorial Day weekend. Now, for the rest of my life, my anniversary weekend is going to be a three-day weekend. Awesome, except for the fact that my poor dad had to suffer through the day after my wedding, basically having to drive back home from the wedding from Florida on his birthday last year. So I hope this one is a little bit better for you. You didn't have to give your daughter away this year. You've had a whole year to get used to that. Apparently, it was a tear-filled event. Happy birthday, Dad. I hope this year is a little better than last year.
Well, if you're listening, Dad, we'd love to talk to you. So give us a call at 347-637-3238 if you're listening in this morning. We'd love to hear. We'd love to talk to your daddy. He's the greatest accent in the world.
I know. He's about as Southern as they get. So I'm sure when he's visiting here, when he's visiting and I talk to you guys in the morning, you're going to be like, wow. Because when I get around it, it comes right back. I mean, I'll start saying y'all a lot more, and I'll talk about my daddy, and it's just too easy. So, yeah, we'll be doing a little bit of that, I'm sure.
Well, I wanted to can I go first? You always can go first when we talk about, because you have these great stories about your weekend. I had an interesting weekend. I did something that I think everybody has done something like this, and we want to hear from people. We want you to give us a call today. You can call us about anything, actually, at 347-637-3238. But I played tennis for the first time in 8 years. I used to play tennis a lot. I played in high school, and then I played all the way through my 30s. Used to play three or four times a week. Used to belong to the tennis club, the whole thing. So,
really?
You were a
tennis player?
Yeah, I was a big tennis player. So, and I thoroughly enjoyed tennis. But then when I got sick all those years ago, I just never took it up again. So I went and played tennis for the first time over the weekend. And needless to say, I was very sore the next day. It was just, I was pretty wiped out. So, but then I made the mistake of going and play again on Sunday. I played 2 days in a row. So by Monday morning, I could barely even walk, or my arm was about ready to fall off, both actually. And I thought, well, you know, Monday morning I had to mow the lawn, and then I bought flowers and plant flowers and do the garden and all that stuff, and there's a lot of bending over. So I was really sore by about noon yesterday. And I thought, we're going to go to the movies this afternoon. We were all excited. We were going to go see Pirates of the Caribbean, and you're going to go to the movie tavern and have dinner and all of that. So we were getting ready to do all that. And I said to Jennifer, I better take some ibuprofen before we leave. Well, so I went in the bathroom, and I opened the drawer, and I take it out, and I take two pills, and I come back in the living room, and I looked at Jennifer and went, oh, crap. I didn't really say that, but I can't use the word I really said, because I had just taken Tylenol PM.
Oh, no!
Not the thing you want to take at noon when you're getting ready to go to the movies.
Oh,
so,
Glenn!
I looked at Jennifer and I said, I don't think we're going to the movies today. I think we're going to have to pass on the movies today, and I'm going to have to pay you back one night this week because I'm going to be asleep in about an hour. So then I had to call you, and we had to do a little promo that we're going to play later today. And about a half an hour after I got off the phone with you, I took a lovely four-hour nap and woke up again about 7 o'clock that night. But hasn't everybody done something like that? Have you ever had anything like that happen?
I can't say that I have, but I do remember when I was in high school. I was riding a lot and playing a lot of sports, and I had a friend come over to spend the night, my friend Linda. I'll never forget. Linda Diaz. She comes over, and she's spending the night. It's like Friday. She goes, to the bathroom, brushes her teeth, fixes her hair, whatever, and comes in to my bedroom. And she's like, oh, my gosh, your toothpaste is so hot. And she's like fanning her mouth. She's like, oh, my God, toothpaste. What kind of toothpaste is that? I go into the bathroom. She brushed her teeth with Icy Hot.
Oh, no.
I'm like, I don't know, but is that poisonous?
That's so deadly.
I will never forget. The actual color of her teeth was so white after that. I actually considered it. But you took Tylenol PM at noon on a holiday, on a Monday. Oh, my gosh. Did you get to sleep last night at all?
Yes, I actually did. I actually slept very well. I'm very well rested this morning. I'm wide awake. I had about 20 hours of sleep in the last 24. So it's all good. I thought I was going to have to take more Tylenol PM last night just to get to sleep. But 10 o'clock, I fell asleep. I woke up this morning at 4, my usual time, and I'm fine. I'm fine today. I highly don't recommend, if you're going to go to the movies taking Tylenol PM, it just won't happen. I had a lovely nap. Jennifer did the shopping, and I got out of doing all the housework yesterday. It was neat. That was a good thing.
That's pretty slick.
Let's make that our question of the day. Let's have Jennifer post on Facebook. Post on there, have you ever used the wrong medicine or, used a product for which it was not intended? I'd like to hear the stories, or give us a call at 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear your stories about that. There was mine, my foolishness.
Oh, I can't believe you didn't like. I would have made myself throw up. Like, give me the Ipecac or whatever. Girls, I think girls can purge easier than guys can.
I don't know. Didn't even consider it. A nap on a holiday is not a bad thing either.
Yeah, that's true. You probably did it on purpose. You know what? I'm going to tell you that going to see that movie was a way better option. Going to see Pirates of the Caribbean, way better option than what I did. So this weekend, Chad and I, it was our, like we've said a million times, it was our anniversary and 1 year. So we decided to go camping, Glenn.
Oh, that's
and
right. You were going camping. You hate camping.
If you recall from my last experience, we're going to horse trials and everything like that. I love camping out because I get to climb into my horse trailer and go to sleep on my bed that I have in the gooseneck, just a mattress in my gooseneck, no living quarters. It's not super fancy or anything like that. And I just climb into my gooseneck and go to sleep on my bed, and that's totally fine. Well, camping is a whole different thing because you're not sleeping in the gooseneck of a trailer. You're sleeping, like, on the ground. In the dirt. It's terrible. But you have a tent. So the last time I went camping, it was like 23 degrees it got down to. That was holy hell. I ended up going sleeping in the truck letting the truck run. So this time, we're in Arizona. It's not going to get 23 degrees. And Chad really wanted to go camping. So we drove north, and we went to a place called the Wet Beaver Canyon. And it was gorgeous.
Perfect
it was
for your
gorgeous.
Anniversary.
It was perfect. We drive along the top of this ridge, and you could camp anywhere in this, like, 10,000-acre park. I mean, it's huge. And so we found a little spot down by the creek. We hiked down into it, took our tent, took our equipment, and, I, of course, had packed enough food to keep us for a week. So we had to carry this heavy cooler down and everything. We had plenty of beer. So we get down there, and we camp, and, you know, it was beautiful. I cooked dinner. I had this little stove. I made – Chad laughed at me because I made arugula salad with lemon and Parmesan. And then I made a penne arrabbiata by the stove.
Who?
He's like, this, I made penne pasta with, like, a spicy tomato sauce. He's like, this is not camping food. I said, I'm not going to eat camping food. This is good food.
Hot dogs are camping food. That's camping food. Bacon and eggs are camping food. Not
no,
penne
I made
pudda, wudda.
Penne arrabbiata, but of course you had to have an arugula salad before it with fresh grated Parmesan. So that's what I had for dinner on our camping night. everything was going great. Everything was going great. We laid out. We looked at the stars. I mean, more stars. We could see the satellites. It was so clear and beautiful. And then we went to sleep. And Glenn, I'm going to go ahead and stick with the whole not camping thing ever again. I really don't
bear?
Like it. It
a
did,
bear?
It,
a bear?
There was no bears.
Oh.
It was not cold.
Coyote.
It was not. There was no wildlife involved as far as furry wildlife. But, dear God, the bugs. The bugs and the spiders and these little weird-looking things. I'm pretty sure one went in my ear and is burrowing in my brain right now. This little weird centipede-looking thing climbed into my ear. I woke up in the middle of the night freaking out. It probably was a dream, but I swear I think that there's something burrowing into my brain right now. I can actually hear it. The spiders, when I woke up, because you know you have that layer between your tent and the cover, there was like 10,000 spiders that had crawled up our tent and were laying there.
Ew.
I opened the door. There's a million ants everywhere, like fire ants that are burrowing, trying to get into our tent. The dogs that we had taken with us, I actually sent Jennifer a picture of our campsite, which was so cute. This is pre-nighttime. The nocturnal bug lifestyle that happens when you're camping by a creek is shocking, Glenn. It is shocking. And I don't need that kind of thing. You know how many bug bites I have on me? And I had to pull like 4 ticks off my dog. It's just, that's just disgusting. It's not worth it. Give me a hotel.
I was just wondering why Chad wasn't bringing you to like a nice hotel, get a massage, things like that for your anniversary.
Next year,
pool.
My friend.
A
next
pool.
Year.
Maybe a hot tub. Instead, spiders and bugs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And the bugs. I mean, I swear he'll reconsider this from now on. But it was amazing.
Let me tell you real quick about my brother. You guys are always trying to gross me out. Now it's my turn. Tell you real quick about my oldest brother. I have 3 brothers. This is my oldest brother. A couple of years ago, while at home working in his garage, a bug flew into his ear. Not only did it fly into his ear, it did just what you're saying. It caved into his ear. It went all the way in his ear to the point where he was in such excruciating pain, they had to call the ambulance to come and get him because he was writhing on the floor in pain because his bug had crawled into his brain, basically, right into his ear canal. It took them at the hospital like an hour to get it out. It was the most painful thing he's ever gone through in his life. So you joke about that, but it can happen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I got to go to the doctor. I'm pretty sure that this is happening right now. So this is actually happening. I thought
you would be able to talk. You'd be screaming in pain.
I have a headache. I have a headache. I woke up with a headache today. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, seriously, this is like some Star Trek stuff right here.
Oh, your little campsite looks cute. Jennifer just posted it on Facebook. There's a picture of the little tent. The doggy's there. It's cute.
I know. It was really cute. I don't know why that picture came out so small, but yeah, it's really, really cute. It was really fun, and except for the whole bug burrowing into my brain thing and the amazing amount of mosquitoes, ants, and spiders, it was a really good time. The next morning, Chad's like, yeah, it's like, do you want to go fishing? I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to take a shower right now. So we're going to have to go.
If he married the adventurous wilderness type, if that's what he thought he married, he probably got it wrong. Maybe he better reconsider if that's exactly what he wanted. Horse girls, for the most part, are not campers. They really like their trailer with the tent, you know, with the gooseneck. They like that. But, you know, we're not much campers either. We've tried the whole tent thing, and we didn't have very good luck either. We've gotten flooded out and rained out and every kind of out you can imagine. And we just gave up. Hotels are really nice, and they're there for a reason.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing about horse girls is, you know, we can camp in our trailer. And you know what? I've even taken a shower and a wash stall, okay, at a facility. I'm fine with that. That's fine. But, dear God, don't put me on the ground next to the creek with the mosquitoes and the bugs and all the nastiness. I don't need that. So, Glenn, I would like to let you know the rest of our trip, we decided to come home. We come home, and I get to ride one of my horses, and Chad's like, let's go out to dinner and a movie. Let's make
well,
up
that,
for
that's,
your...
That's a good anniversary thing to do.
Yes, it was a great anniversary idea. So what do? We get dressed up, we shower, you know, everything. I get to this nice... We tried a new restaurant, which we never do because we live in the middle of nowhere. But a new restaurant opened up, so we decided to try that one. It was so romantic. It was such good Italian food. It was awesome. And then we decided to go to the movie. What is one movie that you could think of to not see on your romantic evening, your anniversary, 1 year, you know, it's been a special day. What is one movie out right now that you should definitely not go see? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you because, dear God, the most unromantic, awful, god-awful movie I've ever seen, we went and saw that night, The Hangover 2.
I heard reviews on that, and they were terrible.
First of all, let me point out, I loved The Hangover 1. I thought that was a funny...
I thought it was great. I laughed the whole way through, and I thought I was going to fall off my chair. It was so funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. This one was just uncomfortable. I mean, we're talking like, there was more naked men in that movie that I cared to ever see. It was awful. It was awful. And the sheer disgusting things that happened in that movie, we left there and all Chad kept going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Here, how about when we get home, I give you a foot rub? Would you like a foot rub? How about a back massage? Anything. Something. Let me just tell you that it was a cold and lonely night in the Jennings household that night.
He can't get it right. Boy, oh, boy. I'll tell you what, the poor guy, now I feel bad for him. Had a lonely weekend, and it was supposed to be his inner... I heard the movie was just a capital R almost on going on X, and it was just filthy raunchy. And the reviews I heard was that the plot was pretty much the same as the first one. And, you know, you can only do that so many times when, people just, you know, we get it. And I just heard they just went totally raunchy.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. The chat has been, take your guy friends there if you want to drink beer. Take your gal friends there if you want to drink a lot of martinis. But no, there's nothing romantic about it from what I hear.
No, I'm sorry, guys, I'm back. No romance whatsoever, and just, it was just uncomfortable. It was just uncomfortably awful. So, yeah, I don't even know if it's a girl movie ever. I don't know. I don't think anybody should go see it. You're just, I'm not old enough for that kind of humor.
Well, you know, I wanted to go see it just because I saw the first one and it was so good. But now that I've heard everybody that's been there has just hated it, I'm not going to bother. I think I really want to see. We do want to go see Pirates. We've watched every other pirate movie and they're all about the same. But Johnny Depp is just so damn good in that movie. He's just so good in that character. You just want to see it again. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just love that. Yeah. You know, those movies are just mindless good entertainment for 2 hours.
Yeah, I did. Chad afterwards was like, "Is Buck in theaters anywhere? Do you want to go see Buck?" I said, nope, you got to wait till like July for that one. He's like, what about Water for Elephants? Is Water for Elephants still out? Because I'll take you to that. I said, yes, we'll find that in the theater, my friend.
That'll be a better night for Chad if he takes you to Water for Elephants.
But babe, I really want to go see Hangover 2. I really want to go. I think it'd be perfect. It'd be so funny. Oh, my God. I wanted to go see Bridesmaids. I was like, can we please go see Bridesmaids? That would have ended better. I'm telling you.
All right, let's. We got to get to doing the show here. Enough about our weekends. We had mentioned last week that we are that the Horse Radio Network and a lot of our friends in the media are putting together a fundraiser for those that are affected by the tornadoes and floods here recently in over half the states of the United States. And we're calling it Horse World Gives Back. And Jamie and I are going to be hosting, along with Helena and Chris, on Monday night, a radiothon. And we put a little promo together for that. And we want you to take a listen to that. And it'll explain exactly what's going on and how our listeners can get involved. And we really do want our listeners to get involved. We have the best listeners in the world. And we know that we can count on you to help get the word out and to participate that night in this radiothon. So here's the promo that Jamie and I put together. And then we'll be back for our first guest of the day.
I am Glenda Geek, founder of the Horse Radio Network.
And I am Jamie Jennings, host of the Horses in the Morning radio show, and we are excited to share with you a fundraising project that we're working on to help the victims of the recent floods and tornadoes that have hit so much of the country. It's called Horse World Gives Back, and the website is at horseworldgivesback.com.
Over the last month, the United States has seen some of the worst flooding in 100 years along many rivers, including the Mississippi River. Whole towns have been under 8 feet of water, and a number of farms have been affected is just unimaginable, including many horse farms. Not to mention the devastation that a record number of tornadoes have brought to so many states in the last couple of weeks. Hundreds of lives lost, hundreds of pets lost, and billions of dollars of damage.
The Red Cross, since March 31, 2011, has opened over 200 shelters in more than half the country, serving 2.1 million meals and given out more than 1 million aid items. The Red Cross is estimating these relief efforts will run over $41 million. The numbers are staggering and the lives lost irreplaceable.
The Horse Radio Network, along with many of its media partners, have started a fundraising campaign for those affected by these recent tragedies. It is called Horse World Gives Back, and it has two parts. The first is an online Horse World Gives Back radiothon that will be held Monday, June the 6th, 2011, from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. We encourage you to tune in and to give what you can, no matter how small or large the amount, towards the charities that we have chosen. Jamie, Chris Stafford, and I will host a three-hour radiothon, and it will be worth a listen as we will learn firsthand some of the stories from those affected. Plus, we will be joined by some of the top riders and clinicians in the world. Please take some time out to join us.
The second part of Horse World Gives Back campaign is the Horse World Gives Back Retail Day on June 7th, 2011. 5% of everything purchased at the participating equine retailers will be given back to the charities. If you have been planning to buy anything over the next month, please do so June 7th at one of the participating retailers, and you will be helping those in need.
We have chosen two charities for this campaign. The first is the Red Cross. As we spoke about before, they have a huge relief effort going on right now in over half the country, and hurricane season starts this week. Their resources are being stretched to the limit. And many people believe that the Red Cross is supported by the government. They are not. They are solely funded by your contributions. The second charity chosen is the U.S. Disaster Equine Relief Fund. This is administered by the Kentucky Horse Council. It was set up years ago to help those directly affected by these types of disasters. They work with other state horse councils to make sure that the funds get directly into the hands of horse owners in need. They do good work, and that's why we're supporting them in this mission.
So how can you help? Well, first, if you're a horse owner, tune into the Radiothon and donate what you can to help those in dire need. Plus, if you are planning on buying anything horsey in the next month, please make your purchase on June 7th at one of the participating retailers and tell everyone you know about this campaign by email, Facebook, Twitter. Just put up a note in your barn.
And if you're a retailer, please consider giving back and being part of this national fundraising effort. Sign up to be a participating retailer at horseworldgivesback.com and donate 5% of your sales on June 7th to those in need.
If you are a wholesaler, manufacturer, or a horse business, please call the Radiothon and pledge your support. There's going to be a page on Horse World Gives Back, the website, to list corporate pledges after the Radiothon.
And if you are a website owner or association, help us promote the Radiothon and Retail Day through your email lists and social media. Plus, you can post the Radiothon player on your website so people can actually listen to the Radiothon right on your site. It's a simple embed code, and it can be found at horseworldgivesback.com.
Horse people are a caring and compassionate group, and we are always helping each other out. And we're asking you to do what you can now to give back even more to the community. Together, we can make a big difference in people's and their horses' lives.
Tune in to the Radiothon on June the 6th at horseworldgivesback.com and learn more about this effort there as well. That's horseworldgivesback.com. See you Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Well, we certainly hope that all you guys will tune in next Monday night to be a part of that, and we do appreciate all your support. And we also appreciate the support of our sponsor for today. It's Pfizer. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes our trusted Strongid C2X, West Nile Innovator, the Innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator adjuvanted with Medistim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit www.pfizeranimalhealth.com.
Hey, I noticed that I was looking through the news for today for our weekend roundup, and boy, there are more cases of the virus coming up in the western states. I noticed mostly in the western states, but there have been some new deaths, and it ain't over yet, is what I'm trying to say. What are you hearing there in Arizona? Are people starting to move around a little now, or?
No, still nobody's going anywhere. Unfortunately, I think what they've said now, 75 horses have been confirmed positive and 11 horses have died. In the states involved are Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, and Washington. Now, as far as, kind of the activities right around here, everything's been canceled. I mean, from POA shows to horse trials to some reining and cutting, everything has been postponed or canceled. I know that my horse trials, my spring Coconino horse trials, is going to be in September. And so I wonder if they're going to rename it. As far as when this outbreak happened, I spoke to my vet and he said, lay low for 3 weeks. Just stay where you are for 3 weeks, and, if there's no second wave of infected horses, then we should be all fine. And so far I haven't heard of any second waves coming out, but of the 11 deaths, 9 horses were at that Utah cutting event, the Ogden, Utah cutting event that appears to be the center of the outbreak. So 2 of the fatalities were horses exposed secondarily to horses that were at Ogden, Utah at the cutting horse show. So it seems to be pretty well contained as far as, letting horses come and go. People seem to be being pretty responsible.
Well, that's a good thing. And I read that there was a couple of cases, new cases in Texas, but they were unrelated to the ones that came out of that show. So, and I know there were actually some famous equestrians that have had their barns quarantined and had some issues as well. So some out your way and some out west. But this story is continuing. It's not over yet. And there's a related story to that that made the national news. I don't know if you saw this, Jamie, but it made the national news. It was on the Drudge Report, and I have a story here out of the New York Daily News, and this is the headline. Horse show uses toy stick ponies after outbreak of equine herpes can't be contained. Well, what was happening was in Utah, they were having a rodeo princess contest, and they, you know, the rodeo queen, this was the junior rodeo queen of the Davis County Sheriff's Mounted Posse Department. They have this rodeo queen contest in Utah every year. Well, usually part of the contest is they ride their show ponies and they do some, you know, they do some tricks and things on their show ponies, and that's part of, you know, getting qualified to be rodeo queen. Well, they couldn't do that because they weren't allowed to bring the horses in, so they used stick horses. And they actually made them go out there and do their routines on their stick horses. And there is a video of this. This is kind of cute. There is a video out there of this, and it's kind of funny watching them trot and jog around on their and lope on their stick ponies. But they actually made them do that, and then they picked the winner based on that. They said it was a little more tiring. The girls said it was a little more tiring than riding their actual ponies. But they took it on. They were troopers. And, of course, they were all dressed up in their rodeo queen outfits, which means bling from top to bottom, and they must be 11, 12 years old. It was the junior rodeo. But this actually made the national news.
That is awesome. Can you imagine how exhausting it is to get on a stick horse and gallop around an arena? I mean, that's like running and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's like physical activity in their bling with their boots and everything. Some of them were pretty cute. I was looking at the video. Some of them were pretty cute in their little outfits. But it was fun, and apparently the audience had a great time. The audience probably had a better time than if they were riding horses, to be honest with you.
You know, that just goes to show you that people can have fun, you know, after all, with all the stuff that's going on and all the scares we've had. Good for them for getting out there and do it. I'm reading the story right now, and they were judged on their dance routines, but they were judged on their knowledge of the drill instead of their horse skills. I'm sorry. I am a much better, now this is a general statement, but I am a much better rider than I am dancer. So I would, not to say I'm a great rider, that just goes to show you what a poor dancer I am. So I would have withdrawn from that competition. But you know what? I wasn't trying to be a rodeo queen ever either. So maybe they have skills.
Well, you know, Jennifer, you know how most women want their guys to go out dancing. I am such a bad dancer that she has never asked. I think the wedding was the last time, 20 years ago. The wedding was the last time we actually danced, 22 years ago. I think that was the last time, to be honest with you. She really doesn't want me involved in dancing at all.
Now, here's a question, Glenn, and Jennifer's not allowed to help. What was your wedding song? What did you dance to? First dance. Oh, God, you're in trouble.
I have no idea. I don't know. Now, see, but we had a medieval wedding. We were all dressed up, and we had medieval feast for a reception, and all the performers performed for us for our, I don't know, it was probably some jig or something. I don't remember.
You had a medieval fest jig that you did. Jennifer,
yes.
do you remember? Is she still
we
busy?
We didn't have anything danceable. We made sure of that, because if there's anything Glenn does worse than
singing,
it's dancing. I honestly don't think we've ever danced together, but maybe once. Yeah.
So you didn't have your first dance as a couple. You're supposed to have that.
Well, you know, this is the trick. When it comes to dancing, when we were working at the Renaissance Fairs in the outdoors in front of thousands of people who don't know us, we danced a lot, and it was usually an Irish jig. And people forgave that because we were wearing weird outfits and drinking a lot of mead. But in any other setting, it's just not appropriate.
True.
Wow.
That's so true. All right, well, let's get to our first guest. We have It looks like we have Gunny on, who is the ranch manager, and I believe he's going to tell us about the Lexan Gives Back, honoring our heroes campaign that they are doing now. And good morning, Gunny.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Okay. And I know that you're filling in here today, so nothing like putting you on the spot.
Well, that's how it works here in this business. We're all Marines here, so we adapt, overcome, and improvise and make it work.
Well, by the way, thank you for your service. We'll start there. Tell us about this and what you guys are doing and what you're doing to honor the vets.
Well, it's a program we thought up. We're going to do it for all veterans. Of course, I'm a retired Marine. Eric is a former captain, and his father-in-law is a retired master gunny. So we're all Marines here, and we're trying to think what we can do to honor our veterans that give so much time and effort to defend this country. So we come up with this program. We're going to donate this gypsy colt, who is now gelded.
Now, that's a gypsy Vanner colt, right?
He is a gypsy Vanner colt, yes.
Okay.
He was. He's a gelding now.
Okay.
And we're going to do this giveaway, and we've got a large input of people. And we set it at policy at a year, which we wish we hadn't because the Marine float is 8 months, so it doesn't make them qualify. But we're changing this around for next year. But right now we've got a lot of feedback on it, and it's really going to be a good program. And I've worked on the Wounded Warrior program several times, and this sort of fills in with that.
Now, you're a gypsy. Let's start here. You guys are a gypsy banner farm. Is that correct? Do you have a ranch or a farm there?
Ranch, yes, here, Rockwood, Tennessee.
Okay. And it's called Lex Lynn Gypsy Ranch?
Yep. The two daughters are Alexis and Lindsay, and that's how the name came out.
Okay, good. And how did they end up with gypsy banners?
I don't know. I've been in this business about 13, 14 years. I've hauled most of them all over the country, probably about 3,500. And I've met Eric, and he met another Marine friend of ours that's in the business up in New York. And they got together, and he decided that was something he really wanted to do. So I hauled all his horses in here, and over time he said, I need an old gunny to come run this outfit. So here I ended up. So I'm here running this outfit. Been here about
now you're
a year
running. You're in charge of gypsies instead of soldiers at this point.
Yeah. Instead of Marines, I'm running a 130 head of horses here right now, and more coming.
Wow. Who listens better, Marines or Gypsy Vanners, by the way?
What's that, sir?
Who listens better, gypsies or Gypsy Vanners or Marines?
Oh, Marines listen up better. They know if they don't, there's a problem.
I got a question for you. Now, so you have,
yes, ma'am.
When you say you have that many horses, 120 head of horses, are they all gypsies?
Yes, every horse on here has either been imported or was born here on this place.
That, my friend, is a lot of hair.
That's a lot of work. A lot of work. It takes half a day just to feed, clean, and water.
So how much grooming do you have to do for Gypsy Vanners on a daily basis? For those who don't know, Gypsy Vanners have unbelievably beautiful flowing manes, huge tails, and feathers everywhere.
Yes.
So how much work is it to maintain that?
It takes two people all day, every day, to just groom the majority of the horses. Our fillies we don't do too much with, and our young colts, we get them in probably once a week and go over them. But the feathers take a precise amount of work with the mane and the feathers and the tail to keep them up, especially in the heat here in the summer and the humidity.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a big undertaking, yes. And, we just brought a new stallion in, Sundance Kid from MVP in Houston. And I'm sure he has feather problems because he came out of there with all the humidity and the heat. These horses all originated in Europe. So,
to keep them kept up, do you really need to groom them every day and to brush those manes and tails every day? Does it get out of hand if you don't?
Well, we can't. No. And they will. They'll tangle. With this many horses. And there's always a problem every day about something. Plus, we're breeding now. Plus, we've got another 15 mares in foal to foliate this summer. So we've had 14. and we sold some mares that were in foal. So we had 31 originally, and we're breeding 45 for next year. So it's a full-time job here, 7 days a week.
All right, let's get back to the giveaway. So what you're doing is you're giving away a Gypsy Vanner to a vet who has served in either Iraq or Afghanistan, and you're taking nominations for that on your website,
yep.
Right?
That's correct. That's correct. And then they have to spend a total of a year in either in-country, one place or the other.
Okay, so they've had to be a year. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Marine or a sailor
no,
or a soldier.
All veterans, okay. Even Coast Guard. There's five branches of the service, and they're included for sure.
And then you guys, as I understand it, are going to narrow the group down, and you're going to have public voting to decide who wins it then.
That is correct, sir.
Okay, and when's that going to happen? When are you going to pick your...
Well, the giveaway will be the 4th of July.
All right, good. So sometime
so
soon
gonna,
you'll be narrowing that down and posting it on your Facebook page.
They'll be working it, yeah. There'll be several of us sit down and work on this and go over it. And there'll be a lot of input, and I'll try to stay out of it as much as possible. I'm very biased towards the Marine Corps, so.
I don't know why.
Now, listen here.
Semper Fi,
I'm an Air Force. I am an Air Force family, so, you know, the good thing is we're all fighting the same cause.
My daughter's in the Air Force, stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base.
There you go. Well, see, we're on here at Luke. So I appreciate your loyalty to the Marines, but, you know,
oh,
come
I
on.
Like
you
Luke.
Gotta
I
open
was
it
stationed
up.
There.
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, I was Luke with the 56th Support Group. I was up from, I was liaison between the pilots at Yuma, Marine Corps Air Station, and the pilots in the 56, they were up there. So they sent me up to Luca's liaison between the Marine Corps and the Air Force.
See, so you have always been one to span the branches of the military, sir.
It's
and
a joint force. Joint force. Well, it takes everybody.
Yeah.
I retired from Peterson Air Force Base, so I was chief
wow.
of security. So
well,
it takes all
people. Yeah, it is a true honor to have you on our show, sir. We really do appreciate your service. I'm sure you hear that all the time, but it really does mean a lot to us. We, you know, especially those of us that have husbands still in the service,
yes,
to see
yes,
the way that you guys, you know, the respect and everything you guys have and get. It's just an honor to have you.
Yeah, George Bush just did a bike ride with a bunch of veterans, amputees down in Texas, and all those things seem to work out and do great honor to our fallen and our amputees and wounded warriors.
Well, and I think what you guys are doing is great, too. I hope that that a veteran who really would like to have a horse and a beautiful horse like a Gypsy Vanner, you know, ends up with this. And by the way, I saw the picture there. This is a good-looking horse.
Yes, he is. His daddy is an excellent horse. He works for the sheriff's department over in Tennessee, works search and rescue. So he turned out to be a gorgeous gelding, big, big.
Wow, that's
nice
something you don't
horse.
Hear about Gypsy Vanners doing. I guess, you know, I guess they do almost everything.
Yes, they do. They can go, I believe, they can cut cattle, work cattle, drive on a carriage. They can do anything you want to do.
All
excellent
right, good.
All-around
well,
personality.
Well, I want to give everybody the website. It's gogypsy.com, very simple, gogypsy.com. There's links on there for honoring our heroes. And there's still time for people to get nominations in of the vets they know?
You bet.
Okay.
The more
so
the better.
Gogypsy.com. Thank you, Gunny. We appreciate you being on today, and thank you for your service again.
You bet. Hoorah.
All right. Well, there you go. He was stationed out your way.
That's really cool. You know, that place down in Yuma, I've actually been down there as well. So that's really neat. Just a small world, I guess, you know. And we do appreciate everybody for their service. And I hope everybody was able to take some time out yesterday to thank the people that have been, you know, in service and our fallen servicemen and women yesterday. And that's what that day is for, not just a cookout, camp out kind of holiday weekend, but it's nice to have them on. And what a cool thing to be giving away a Gypsy. You know, they thought, how can we help? How can we be how can we be a part of this? And they're going to give away a horse. So that's a really neat thing. You can follow them on Lex Lynn Gypsy Ranch's Facebook fan page, too, as well. And you can see all the contest rules. And you can figure out how to nominate somebody that you know. My husband, I think if I was to try to give him a gypsy banner, he'd probably give it back. He's just like, I'm not grooming that thing.
Too much work.
He barely brushes the horse's saddle area off before he rides.
Hey,
so,
you
have to have somebody.
We have a caller on, or we have Chris Stafford. Looks like she's on the phone, and I didn't get the message from Jennifer just now. Good morning, Chris. What's up?
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. Well, I thought your listeners would like to know, I just had some very sad news from Boyd Martin's barn, and if I may just read you the very short note about a fire that was actually broken out at his farm in the middle of the night. I know Boyd is a great friend of the Eventing Radio Show and indeed of the Horse Radio Network, so this is very, very sad time for him. And if I may just read you that note.
Yeah, go ahead.
At 12:30 this morning, a barn fire of unknown cause tragically destroyed Boyd Martin's barn at True Prospect Farm. 11 horses were in the barn at the time. Lillian Hurd, Caitlin Stillman, and Ryan Wood were able to evacuate 5 horses. 4 horses are currently in treatment at the University of Pennsylvania's New Bolton Center, and they are Neville Bardas, Art Otis, Barbatieri, Catchastar, and Ambassador's Rose. Lillian, Caitlin, and Ryan were treated and released from Jennersville Hospital, but tragically, 6 horses perished in the fire.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And all other horses have been relocated to area barns, and, of course, we will be bringing you further news of that as we learn, certainly on the Eventing Radio Show. But I thought, this is such a tragedy, Glenn and Jamie, and I know that he has so many fans and friends around the world, and hopefully they will share with us this obviously very sad news and keep their thoughts and prayers with Boyd and his team.
Now,
he
had his own farm now. He was no longer over with Philip, right?
He has a new house, but this is at True Prospect Farm
True Prospect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Well, our best to Boyd and everybody over at True Prospect. This is a wow. You know, Chris, we just talked about fire safety a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know you did. Yes.
Yeah, and how there's been so, it just seems like this year there's so many more fires than I've seen in the past in barns.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
the middle of the night. Well, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, this was at right in the middle of the night, at just after midnight, that it took hold. And, you know, so many people, Glenn and Jamie, so many people keep their horses out of barns at night because of this. As you've probably heard, they won't even keep their horses in a barn because they've experienced this or known someone that has, because it's very hard, obviously, when a fire breaks out, when everybody's in bed asleep and the fire has taken hold before anyone can get there.
And for some reason, fires never, ever happen during a day. They always happen at 2 in the morning. I don't know why that is, but it just seems to be a thing. And, of course, there's always been that debate about hurricanes and bad weather, you know, bad thunderstorms. Do you leave your horses in or do you put them out? We always put them out. We always figured, you know, their natural instincts are going to take over, and they're going to protect themselves. In a barn, they can't, you know. So we always left them out, but I know, you know, there are people who disagree with us on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely something that everybody's going to have to think of. But right now, I just logged onto Eventing Nation, and they are saying on there that Boyd said the fire is believed to have started around 12:30, like Chris said, that Boyd's groom Lillian woke up, smelled the smoke, sounded the alarm. Lillian and the other members of Boyd's program worked heroically over the next few minutes to save as many of the horses as possible. Boyd was staying at his new farm a few miles away, and he said by the time he got there, the fire department had arrived, and firemen were restraining people from running into the barn to try to save more horses. So, oh, my God. So Neville Bardos, his Rolex horse, is in intensive care for smoke inhalation. Tachistar, who was just second at the Jersey Two-Star, is also in intensive care. Otis, Barbio Terry, is receiving fluids. Thank you, Chris. I know you can see those a lot better than me. So, you know, you just got to say a prayer for him and all of his people and horses. And I guess there is a one or two people that are being treated for burns as well. And that just goes to show you that horse people will, you know, run into a burning barn to save a horse. It's just, that's the way they are. And, you know, oh, man, looking at this picture is devastating. It's devastating. I can't even imagine something like this happening.
Well, as I said, Jamie, all three of his riders, Lillian, Caitlin, and Ryan, were taken to hospital there at Jenisville Hospital for treatment, but they have been released.
They have, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So we will keep you apprised, obviously, on the Eventing Radio Show, and I'll bring you updates here, guys, as it comes to us.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you calling and letting us know.
Well, you bet. But while I'm here, on a more cheery note, I'm looking forward to next week.
Yes, we were just talking about that, and we're going to be doing a little planning meeting after our show today for the Horse World Gives Back campaign. And our friends in the media, I see, have been advertising the heck out of it. So we appreciate all of their help, too.
Absolutely. Well, look forward to that. Look forward to joining you to raise some money for those victims. And we'll bring you updates, of course, on Boyd's story as and when we have them.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Well, thank you.
You bet.
Well, Jamie, let's take a break. I need a break here. That story caught me a little off guard today. And, of course, Boyd is a friend of ours. And, you know, we spent some time with him at Rolex. And, you know, he's somebody that, you know, once you get to know him, you're friends with him. You know, he's that kind of guy. And, you know, we are best to him and his whole team up there in Pennsylvania. Let's take a little break. We have Templeton Thompson singing Little Rebel. And then we'll be back with the rest of the show.
Calling all you prim and proper, got a little wild time trapped in town. Calling all
Well, we're back. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek with Jamie Jennings, and Jennifer H. is producing today. This show is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. And, Jamie, boy, it's tough to go on and be funny after news like that breaks on your show.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm just reading it. They've updated the horses that were lost in the fire. Call Me Ollie, Charlotte, Ariel, Phantom Pursuit, Cagney Herself, and Summer Breeze. And, of course, you know, some of those names are pretty famous if you follow eventing. So we do wish them the best. And, oh, my God, I can't even imagine. It's definitely tough. So we'll have to put that behind us right now and carry on. But we will definitely keep you guys up to date on what is going on at Boyd Martin's barn. And after, again, a bad barn fire, and six horses lost in a barn fire at True Prospects Farm, which, again, is Philip Dutton's place. But Boyd actually rents one of the top barns on the hill there. So that's how only Boyd's horses were affected, and Boyd and his students.
I want to remind everybody that we did a fire episode not long ago. It was on April 21st. If you want to go back and take a listen to it, you can go back. It was the episode for April 21st, episode number 124. And there actually is early warning systems and things. They're not cheap, but that you can put in your barn to help prevent things like this from happening. Now, I'm not saying it would have in this case. And the one thing about those Pennsylvania barns is usually, and this one looks like it was as well, they're big old bank barns. And
yeah,
those timbers have been in there for 150 years in some cases. I know the barn we had, both the barns we had in Pennsylvania were big old bank barns. And, you know, they had been built 120 years ago. Now, we made an effort to make sure all the wiring was replaced and all of that. But once a fire starts in those barns, it just goes because that wood's dry. It's been there forever. Well, we do need to go on here. And as best we can today, you know, this is a tragedy, and it's, you know, it's a fire. It's in there on the list of tragedies that we were just talking about that we're trying to help people with here, too, between twisters and fires and floods. They all result in the same thing, and that's a loss of life, whether it's human or animals. So let's continue on here. We don't have the European report like we usually do on Tuesdays because Katie is off today. She's actually moving houses, so she's moving furniture around today. We wished her well in her move. That's sometimes a fun thing to do and sometimes not. Depends how many times you've done it.
Moving sucks. Moving sucks every time. Moving always sucks.
Let's try to be nice, but you're right. It sucks every time. Let's do the weekend roundup.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Did you change
well, the
that?
First, what's that?
Does that
no,
sound different?
Like
I thought
that.
It was. Oh, I thought it was. Now listen up. Oh, that's maybe something else. That's the.
That's Friday.
That's okay.
Friday. That's on Friday. By the way, people seem to be loving the Friday really bad ads. We're getting more reaction to that than. People just love that. So it's okay because it's fun for us to do, too. We love it, too. Hey, I have a story here for you out of Oregon, and I have a sound file for it. This guy's he's interesting, and he's called Lee the Horse Logger. And I guess he does logging, but he also considers his full-time job traveling back and forth across the United States. And I have a story out of KTVZ. Jeez, I can't believe they say that every time on the air. KTVZ.com in Oregon, the TV station there. So let's listen to their story about Lee the Horse Logger.
Memorial Day weekend, as she mentioned, is here, and a lot of you will be traveling, and you may see a piece of history rolling on the highway, a full-sized horse-drawn wagon. Our Joe Burns went to visit the team and their driver this afternoon while they rested in Madras and has their story, Joe.
Adam, he calls himself Lee the Horse Logger and has already crossed the country east to west 5 years ago. But now he's heading back, headed to Raleigh, North Carolina. Lee and his team are traveling slowly, though, through central Oregon.
It's Memorial Day weekend, and for many, being stuck behind a semi-truck going 10 or 20 miles per hour is frustrating. Now imagine driving behind a wagon with very limited literal horsepower, going about 3 miles per hour at most. Well, that's what Lee the horse logger does for a living.
I have a full-time job, 24/7, 365. I haven't been away from these horses for more than 6 hours in the last couple of years.
The last couple of years have been interesting.
It's a whole big wide world out there. Places to go, people to see, things to do. And the only way I could get out there was to hitch the horses and go.
And boy, has he gone. 9,000 miles, in fact, with four horses and his wagon. He's already been across the country, and now he's going back the other way. Today, he was resting in Madras before heading to Culver for the weekend. But everywhere they go, the wagon team is a natural object of curiosity and questions. So what made Lee start the journey? His high school sweetheart.
I'm going to visit her again, and the only way I could get there and keep my horses was to hitch up and go, and that's what we did.
He has three rigs, the main rig, which has a downstairs for storage and the driving deck, the next rig, the feed and supply wagon, and a logging wagon, which he uses for various jobs he picks up.
You know, we started this whole trip with $75 to my name, and I spent $40 of it on tires before I got going.
Ironic for a man almost always on the road, who on one of the busiest travel days in America, he was taking a break.
Kind of playing around the traffic. It's Memorial Day weekend, and I just don't need to compete with traffic. So
that's some horse sense Lee likely picked up from his stalwart traveling companions.
If you would like to help Lee on his journey, some things get expensive, such as vet bills for the horses and feed. You can visit his website to learn more about his travels, and like his name, it's easy to enough to remember, LeeHorseLogger.com. Joe Burns, News Channel 21.
Okay, stop. This guy is driving his horses back and forth across the country. And we've got, you know, wars going on. We've got people that have barn fires. That we've got tornadoes. We've got all this. And I'm going to donate money to Lee so he can feed his horses? You must be out of your mind.
I think I was kind of wondering, he did the trip like 3,000 miles one way, and now he's going back. He has these four horses. They pull these three big wagons. There's like a covered wagon kind of thing, and then there's two wagons behind it. And then he said he started with $80, and that's all he had to his name. Let me tell you the other thing about Lee. He ain't skinny. Lee's a big boy. So Lee's eating something along the way. I don't know where he's making his money. I don't know.
Well, apparently he's taking donations. Let's see. I'm going to find. Okay, LeeHorseLogger.com. Apparently, let me see an image here. Oh, yeah, that's a big boy. And the good thing is, in the picture that I found, he's wearing a bright orange sweatshirt. So just so we could see him, make sure we didn't miss him.
The other thing about this is he was originally going to see his high school sweetheart. I don't see her anywhere in the picture. So my guess is that didn't work out. Now he has to go home.
By the time he got there, she'd already met and married and had kids. Dear God, he's walked across the country. That guy's crazy. All right, let's go to a better story, a different story.
give everybody a chuckle. Lee the horse logger.
Oh, that's great. What a great story. Well, this one was posted on our Facebook page by Aaron Watkins, and it's not a story. It's the rules of the barn. Now, you should print this out, and you should post it in your horse's stall, because these are not rules of the horse of the barn. They're rules for the horse. Number one. I am human. You are a horse. What I say goes. Please take that into consideration when you're standing on my foot. Number two, spilled grain is not fair game, especially when it's spilled in another horse's stall. It still belongs to that particular horse. You have no reason to go in and eat it. Number three, poop does not need to be hidden. I clean your stall every day. I will find it. Do not hide it. Number four, I do not need your help when I clean the barn, nor do I need your supervision or your presence. I've been cleaning the barn and stalls ever since you lived here. I know what I am doing. Standing at the door staring at me will not make me clean any faster.
That goes for horse husbands, too.
Yeah, right? Bravo, rake, Glenn. Number five, there is no need to go into the barn and help your – this is – I'm going to – print this for my horses. This happened twice. There is no need to go into the barn and help yourself to the feed. Meals are given at specific times of the day. There is a feed schedule. You know the schedule. I know you know the schedule, and you know that I know you know the schedule. Stick to the schedule. Yeah, you know how I know they know the schedule? Because it is after 7 o'clock here. We have 20 minutes left of the show, and I can look out my window and see all five of them out there staring at me through the window.
Going, where are you?
Hello? Are you going to end the show early or what? We're starving. number 7, the wheelbarrow is there for a reason. Please do not try to move it when I'm cleaning your stall. Number 6, I skipped one. Water buckets are not toys. Water buckets are not toys. Neither is the gate, the pitchfork, the wheelbarrow, whatever's in the wheelbarrow, the fence, or the occasional dog. These are not toys. Number 8, just because I go to the barn doesn't mean you automatically get food. There's other stuff in the barn, stuff you don't want, like dewormer and fly spray. It's not always about the food.
Beaker needs that one in his stall.
Yes, anyway, our horse needs that one.
Don't they all? Now, this one goes out to my horse, Jet. Sheath cleaning will not be enjoyed by anyone, period.
I wish I had known. I would have had your sheath cleaning song ready.
Oh, Lord. I don't even want to hear it. Number 10, water travels through the hose. If you are thirsty, do not stand on the hose. The water buckets will fill much faster. Number 11, not everything has to be high drama. None of the following things are going to kill you. This includes fly spray, plastic bags, balloons, hoses, bicycles, chipmunks, any rodents, tarps. None of that will kill you.
We had a horse at our barn that one of our students had. What was Danny Boy? Was he an Arab, Jennifer?
Yes.
He was an Arab. He would not walk over a hose. You had to, I don't care if the hose was stretched 10 miles, you had to pull the hose together, and you had to walk him around the hose. He would not step over a hose. He just was not going to do it. That was it.
Oh,
he's petrified of hoses.
I'm going to take a picture of my horse's stall with one, because this is what Danny Boy needed. Right outside my horse's stall, because we have, like, paneling. We don't have inside barns because it's too hot. So we have these panels that encompass the horse's stalls. So what I have leaning right outside the panels, right in front of his feed bucket, is a bicycle. It's my old bicycle, and it is a piece of junk. And it sits there, and when he eats grain every night, I get on it and I pedal it. And do you know that every single night, my horse refuses to eat his grain when I'm pedaling that bicycle right next to him? He stands away so long that I get tired of pedaling in place and have to then get off. And he wins every night. This next rule goes out to that
Who's
horse.
Who's desensitizing who there, Jamie?
I know. I'm getting really good quads, though. So developing nicely. Number 13, this goes out to Demir, and I'm sure you guys have all had horses. Accidents happen. However, I'm not altogether sure you're not trying to kill yourself. Next time you decide to impale yourself on some sort of object, slice open your leg, run into a ditch, fall into a hole, please try to do so when it's not A, hailing, B, midnight, C, the weekend, or Christmas Day. Thank you very much. Number 14, while I appreciate your need to be clean, pooping in your water bucket does not make my job easier, and it deprives you of water. Please find a new spot. And number 15, winning as loudly as you can in my face does not make me feed you any faster.
And there are some horses that have the most annoying whinnies. There are some that their whinnies are kind of cute, and then there's some, it's like that chalkboard thing. It's just grating.
You can feel the breeze from their nostrils blow back your hair as they scream directly in your face while I'm mixing the feed. I mean, it's amazing. It's very impressive. And, dear God, I got a video, the mule. I have a mule next door, and there's a mule that does nothing, and there's a mule that gets ridden all the time. Well, every time they take the mule that gets ridden out of the field, the mule that never leaves screams the entire time. But it is not a cute whinny. It is not a cute little mule hee-haw. It is like this god-awful sound that comes from Satan himself, from the toes to the ears of this mule. I am going to record this thing because you're not going to believe that it's actually coming from an animal. That is painful. It's painful.
Hey, I got one. You read a list. Can I read one, too?
Oh, please do. By the way, thanks to Aaron Watkins for posting that on our Facebook page. I got a really good laugh out of that.
Yeah, we'll have to put that in our notes section on the Facebook page so people can find it. Hey, Troxel put out, you know, we talked about, speaking of tragedies, well, there was another, I saw there was a 12-year-old girl that was killed at a rodeo recently when her horse slipped over on her. And, you know, the horses or the helmet campaign, helmet awareness campaign is coming up on June the 10th or 11th, on June the 11th, and that's coming up in 2 weeks, where you can buy a helmet at a discount at most of the major manufacturers and retailers in the country. And the Troxel has put out the top 10 helmet facts and myths of horseback riding. And I thought some of these were interesting. So the first fact is that horseback riders have the same number of injury accidents as motorcycle riders. Is that true or false? Jamie?
I don't know. I mean, I guess probably I would think horse people have more accidents.
That is true. Horse people do have more accidents because the hospital admission rate for injured riders is greater than motorcycle riding. 49 in 1,000 riders will be injured and 14 in 1,000 on motorcycles. So it's almost triple or quadruple the number of horseback riding accidents. And I know we lived in an area, and down here especially in Lexington, but we lived in an area in Pennsylvania that when the emergency room heard there was a horseback riding accident coming in, they always scrambled because they knew it could have been, you know, they knew it can be something really bad. So that is, so the next one in your quiz, your horse doing something unpredictable like spooking, bucking, or bolting is how most head injuries occur. Is that true or false?
Glenn, I think I didn't understand you because you're breaking up a little bit, so hang up and call back. I'll do a new story, and then you can carry on with this one. So go ahead and hang up now and call back. Another new story that we have is William Fox Pitt is amazing. Where we had Mary King win first and second at Rolex. She won first and second. That, to me, is as big as it gets when you are doing a horse show. William Fox Pitt won the three-star, the two-star. Let me see here if I can find the entire story. He won three horse trials this past weekend. Like a three-star, two-star, and a one-star. The guy won first place in three different horse trials. So congratulations to William Fox Pitt at the Tattersall's horse trials. And second was Oliver Townend. And Oliver Townend came in second to William Fox Pitt twice. So he probably is cussing William Fox Pitt right now. He's like, please knock down a rail. Please knock down a rail. Dang it, he went clean. Okay, next time, please knock down a rail. Please knock. Dang it. All right, you're back. Says congrats to William.
I'm back.
Fox
Do I sound any better? Am I all crackly still, or am I sounding adorable?
That is it's adorable.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. I appreciate that. So my second one was, this is the question, your horse doing something unpredictable like spooking, bucking, or bolting is how most head injuries occur. True or false?
I would say most falls occur that way, but I don't know if most head injuries, I would think like jumping or doing something like that would cause the most head injuries.
Wrong. It is true. The majority of head injuries are caused by unpredictable events, such as your horse spooking. And even more surprising, 1 in 5 people who are seriously injured weren't even riding. They were just hanging out around the horses or watching someone else. And I know that's true because Jennifer's been hurt more on the ground than she has riding. So we know those injuries just around the barn can happen. Yep, she's had a few, just horse slipping and things like that. My Little Pony knocked her over, broke her arm. So while leading the pony in from the my little pony in from the field, but little pony got spooked by the dog. Pony, you know, pony runs into human. Human falls, puts arm out, breaks arm. Okay, the third one. The most common reason among riders for admission to the hospital and death are head injuries. True or false?
Yeah, true.
False, actually. You're doing very well here, Jason. About 70,000 people go to the emergency room each year for equestrian-related injuries. Only about 12,000 have suffered head injuries. So it's only about a fifth of the people are head injuries, and the rest are probably broken bones. Wouldn't you think that are the most, I would think, broken arms, broken legs are probably the most injuries. Broken ribs, things like that.
I was confused. Yes, I would say like falling off and breaking your arm is incredibly common.
Yes. See, I'm trying to trick you with the questions the way I'm saying it. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Is it true or false that most riding injuries occur during pleasure riding?
I would say true, because there's probably a lot more pleasure riders than competitive riders.
That's right. That is correct. Ding, ding, ding. You get that one. All right. So now let's do the myth. Bike or skateboard helmets are fine for riding horses. True or false?
Heck no. That is false, false, false.
You're absolutely right. They are not fine. They have different safety standards, different ratings, so you should not do that. They're not made for the kind of falls that you can get while horseback riding. Horseback riding isn't dangerous as long as you aren't riding fast. True or false?
False, 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 false. That's ridiculous.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The risk of injury is more closely tied to your distance above the ground. Falls from only over 2 feet can cause serious injury. You know, you fall, actually, if a horse knocks you over on the ground, you fall, you can break something, so that just goes to show you. The more expensive your helmet is, the more it will protect you.
No, because I have seen some very fashionable, expensive helmets, and they pretty much meet the same safety standards as the $50 ones. They just don't have as much bling.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. As long as they meet the safety standards, you're buying a certified helmet. If you don't have a helmet, just borrow our friends. Is that a good thing to do?
I would say it's probably better than not having one.
As long as it fits your head. If it fits your head incorrectly, it's way too loose, then probably you're going to have, you know, it's just going to fall off. But if it fits your head, then you're right. It's probably better than not having one at all. Best thing is to get your own and have one that absolutely fits you. After a fall, if your helmet took an impact to the fall, it's fine to use again unless you see a crack in it.
Nope. You're supposed to, if your helmet hits the ground on your with your head in it, you are supposed to take it in and replace it.
That's correct. You're absolutely right. And some helmet manufacturers, I think Troxel is one of them, will actually take your helmet back and they'll x-ray it for you. And they'll let you know the result of the x-rays to see how damaged it was. Yeah, so that you did pretty well. I'd say you've got about 6 or 7 out of the 10. You didn't do bad.
No, the myth thing is good, because helmet safety has been just drilled into my brain for so long. I told you when I was at the Jimmy Wofford Clinic, not riding, just auditing it, and a girl fell off. And, you know, she fell off, and she hit her head pretty good, but she got back up, and she was fine. And he was like, hey, as soon as this is over, you need to take that to the store and get a new one. At least have them look at it and make sure it's okay. So, you know, I learned a lot that day just about that. I mean, if Jimmy Wofford's like, hey, get to the store, woman, you got to go to the tack shop and replace that thing, you know, it's pretty legit.
Yep, that's right. And I know some hospitals, actually, we've heard stories where riders have gone in and had their helmets with them, and the hospital will x-ray it for them. So we've heard those stories, too. Hey, we should get back before we end the show here today to our questions of the day. We sometimes forget to do that, but the question of the day is, we've all accidentally used the wrong product, and, you know, like yesterday, I accidentally took Tylenol PM at noontime instead of ibuprofen because I had played tennis for 2 days in a row and was really sore. And I ended up taking a nice 4-hour nap yesterday. It was lovely. Jennifer didn't have much fun as we were supposed to be going to the movies and out to dinner. That didn't happen. She had to cook dinner then. I think that's the thing she was most upset about. So Abby Good says she put on breeches and then went to school one time. I think what horse girl hasn't gone to school in breeches though. I think most of them have.
I don't think she did it on purpose though.
No. Susan Schaefer said, I guess that's better than going to school without anything on. Susan Schaefer says, at my age, I have to carefully prepare the products in the shower when I have my glasses on. Shampoo on one side, conditioner on the other. You know, I have bad eyes too, and I wear contacts, but I have been in the shower at times when I have to really look closely at the bottle. Kelly says, my issues are usually more of the accidental ingestion variety. I've had tastes of nearly everything from dewormer to ulcer medications to one very memorable experience with wipe thigh spray. Ugh. Oh, and Thermaflex to the eyes. That one was fun.
Oh, my God. And who hasn't done this one by accident? Spray Shoshin all over your horse instead of thigh spray. Kira Holmes says she did that. And, you know, my student's mother just the other day was asking me, she's like, should we get some Shoshin? And I was like, no, I don't think that your children are responsible enough to have Shoshin.
Needs to have special labeling.
It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous.
I told you about the time that the student that we had at the barn and I, Jennifer wasn't home, she was at a show or something, and we had a horse with a cut. And we took the wrong bottle, and we accidentally put formaldehyde on it.
Oh, God.
The cut
healed up really well.
By the way. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah, I did post one thing on that question of the day. I tried Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products, the stuff I give my horses, and because you open up the jar of Joint Armor, and it smells like cake batter. And you know, after having talked to Jennifer says she tastes everything that her horses have had. And I said, I got to try it. So I licked my finger, and I stuck it in the Joint Armor, and then I pulled it out, and then I licked my finger again. That does not taste like cake batter. Oh, God. That was just, my tongue was like, I was like scraping it off my tongue, like, get off. But the horses ate it, no problem.
Hey, Jennifer, didn't you don't I remember one time, where were we? Were we in Massachusetts, living in Massachusetts then when you wore your helmet to the store?
We might, and I probably have done that on more than one occasion. You unclip the chin piece, and you just leave it on your head because you're doing things, and you hop in the car, and you zip down. And one of our favorite things to do would be during a lunch break, we'd zip down to the local ice cream parlor and everybody get a milkshake. And just completely forgot it was on my head, you know, and it was one of those big, ugly jockey skull cap things. It wasn't even a nice-looking one. And people were looking at me kind of funky in the ice cream parlor, and I didn't know why until I started to eat my ice cream and went, oh.
They were all going, she's one of those special kids.
Yeah.
She has to wear a helmet. I've done that where you go to get in your car and you're still wearing your helmet and you don't have enough like headspace to get into your car with a helmet on and you're like, conk, you know, you just about knock yourself out getting into your car. That's when you go, thank God I was wearing my helmet.
Well, we have to call it quits here. We're running out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate it. Of course, you can listen to all our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Chris mentioned the Eventing Radio Show earlier, and that's one of the shows, of course, on the network. We appreciate all your help in getting the word out about Horse World Gives Back. You can go to horseworldgivesback.com and see more information about that. And you can also find us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And you can also if you missed a live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. Let's see, Glenn, when was the fire episode that we did? I got it right here. It was episode number 124 on April 21st of this year. And, of course, we, you know, say a prayer to Boy Martin and his whole family and crew up there in Pennsylvania. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Be safe, wear your helmet, and give your horses an extra hug today.